and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Verse 5, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written," again, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power that is in this word. We pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would use this word to accomplish your will in our lives. Father, yes, you've given us a mind, but on today, Lord, help us to submit to this word and understand it. We know, Lord, that you've given us a will, but on this day, Lord, pray that you would help us to follow what this word says and to do it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in our lives. Yes, Lord, I've studied, but I need your strength. Yes, Lord, I have prepared, but I need your power. Fill me now, Lord, with your spirit that I might preach your word under your anointing power, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Fill me with your spirit. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. 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 You all may be seated. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say to your neighbor, "I'm resisting my enemy." Turn to somebody else and tell them, "I'm resisting my enemy."
My enemy. Jesus.
I want us to understand something, that as we are at the end of another year, I believe it is the will of God for us to not finish as though we are defeated. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
But to finish with an understanding of what power we have in Jesus' name. As Christians, I want us to get this, as Christians or as children of God, we have inherited special privileges. And that special privilege, one of the major special privileges that we have in Jesus' name, is that God gives us assistance to resist the tempting and the testing of the enemy of God. I want us to get that. First Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion," listen to this, "seeking whom he may devour." And I'm telling you, I've said this to you before, that the Bible says that the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He does not come to build. He does not come to strengthen.
No.
He comes to tear down.
Right.
And so the enemy of God, if you don't know, is Satan.
Right.
And the Bible teaches us that in his name means the accuser.
Uh-huh.
That's all he does all day long. Is waiting for us to mess up so he can go to God and say, look at him, I told you. I thought they were saved. I thought they were walking in power. I thought they had special privileges. And the reality of it is that he keep on accusing you and I. But because of the blood of Jesus and because of the grace of God, he can accuse us, but we have to understand that even though he accuses us, we are still forgiven. You ought to say amen right there. We're still forgiven. And we're saved by the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
And so at the enemy's end for the believer is to distract us in three major ways. First, the enemy wants to take away our hunger for the word of God. And so that's why when situations happen in your life and difficult situations come, And you stop trusting or reading or believing in God's word. He wants to take away your hunger for the word of God. He also wants to take away our hunger for the worship of God. I want us to get that. Because when you stop worshiping God, you stop obeying what God tells you to do. And so if the enemy can get you and I to stop worshiping, and I'm not talking about coming to church to worship. I'm talking about how we live as believers and how we worship God with our living. And the enemy wants our fellowship. He wants to take away our fellowship with the people of God. And so that's why when life's challenges and situations come on the believer, the first thing we do is we stop coming to church. That's the first thing we do. We say, well, I got this to do, or he gets us so busy and focused on our stuff. I want you to know this morning, the enemy doesn't want your things. He don't want your house. He don't want your cars. He don't want your job. He don't want your money. What he wants is your attention. And if he can cause something to happen in your life to take your attention off of God and to put it on yourself or your stuff, you are literally putting your attention on him. Turn to somebody and say, I'm resisting.
I'm resisting.
I want you to understand something, that the enemy of God wants us to step away from the things of God, because he knows that it will diminish our spiritual growth as followers of Christ. And so he wants to get us to a place where we feel helpless. How many of you all may have felt helpless in 2018? We've all been there. We've all had an experience in our lives where we felt like, Lord, I don't feel like you're with me. And so it is the enemy's attempt to not only distract, but he also wants your faith to be diminished. He wants your zeal for the Lord to be diminished. He wants your trust in God to be depleted to the point that you stop reading the word, that you stop worshiping God, and that you stop fellowshipping with other believers. And so when he gets us to that point, it is then that he leaves us to our own selves. Because if we stop worshiping God and we stop believing and trusting in God's word and we stop fellowshipping with other believers, then guess what? He doesn't have to do anything else to us, because we'll do the rest to ourselves. We'll get hooked in the wrong crowd of people. We'll start doing and saying things that we know don't give God no glory. We'll start worrying about our situations. We'll become anxious about. Listen, the enemy knows that I don't have to kill you. You'll kill yourself if I just get you to stop doing the things that glorify God. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. God gives us his strength. And so what we have to understand is this. Is that James says it best in James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee. Turn to somebody and say, we want to put him on the run. God gives us his strength to do in the spirit what we are unable to do in our human ability. Help us, Lord, help us. Because it is the Spirit of God that gives us the power to accomplish the work of God in our daily lives through Christ. And so everything that God wants to do in this earth, he wants to do it through us. Help us, Lord. We're waiting for a miracle from God, and the truth is we are the miracle. We're waiting for an answer from God, and the truth is we are the answer. Because everything that God wants to do in the life of a believer in this earth, he wants to do it through us. That's why the Bible says that he that has begun a good work in you shall complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God wants to accomplish something in this earth for his glory, and he wants to use us to do it. And so because he wants to use us to do it, you have to understand that when you are on a mission from God, that the enemy or the adversary or the devil will do anything he can or to try to get you to abort the mission. He'll do anything to try to get you to stand off of doing what God wants you to do. And I'm telling you, he'll cause havoc on your job to get you to stop talking about Jesus and stop walking in Christ on your job. He'll bring havoc to your home. To get you to think in your mind, not in your faith, but in your mind, that God must not be working because this prayer stuff must not be working for me because I have talked to God about doing this thing, and it seems like the more I pray, the worse it gets. He'll show up in your friends. He'll show up in your family. He'll show up anywhere he wants to, because the goal is, if I can just get you distracted enough, I'll get you to follow another rule of understanding other than Christ. And so in the text, after Jesus Christ was newly baptized and the descent of the Holy Spirit fell upon him in preparation for him to do his public ministry, as he entered into Galilee, Jesus, during a fast, was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see this. Look at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Then I want you to understand something, because you may have the question that why would the Spirit of God lead Jesus into a place to be tempted? And the truth of the matter is, the Spirit of God already knows what we have in us. And because he knows, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, sometimes we don't know what we have, but the Spirit of the Lord knows what we have from God. Amen. And so what the Spirit's responsibility, good God Almighty, what the Spirit or the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to take what belongs to God and give it to us. And so we might not know what the Spirit of God it has enabled us to do. And sometimes it takes some trouble in order to get out of us or to pull out of us what God's will is. Sometimes we might have to have some suffering in order for us to look deep down inside of us and who we are as believers and begin to trust God in a way that we have never trusted God before. Sometimes it takes trouble in order for us to realize how triumphant we are. Amen. You ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so Jesus goes into the wilderness led by the Spirit. And Jesus has an encounter with the devil in this wilderness. And he is tempted, or the enemy is trying to tempt him. And so the first thing that we have to understand is this. Look at verse 2 and 3. Help us, Lord Jesus. And so when he, talking about Jesus, had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. I love the fact that in the text, God deals with the fact that Jesus was just like us. See, he was natural, but he had a super on his natural. And so what we've got to understand as believers is that shares with us that he was just like we are. So he was hungry. Turn to somebody and say he was hungry. Then when the tempter came, verse 3. Then when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. First thing is this, Jesus did not allow the enemy to feed him. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you allowed to feed you in 2018. But I know what you're saying. I said, well, you know, Pastor, I feed myself. Well, the reality of it is there's some unforeseen things. There's some spiritual things that sometimes we feed on that we don't know we're feeding on. And so I want to help you understand, if you are a worrier, then you are allowing yourself to feed on worry. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. If you are a person who is anxious, easily made anxious or worried, then you are allowing that to feed you. If you are a person who has given in to your own understanding, then you are allowing that to feed you. And I want to help you understand something this morning, that whatever feeds you will either make you stronger or it'll take your strength from you. I don't know nobody that can worry and trust God at the same time. I don't know nobody that can be anxious for an experience that then at the same time they understand that God already knows the outcome of it. Jesus did not allow the enemy to feed him. And so we have to understand that what you allow to feed you will direct you. Jesus was led by the Spirit. That's why I love that that the Lord says that in the first verse. Jesus was led then by the Spirit. So the Spirit was with him. And so the Spirit guided him into the wilderness. But the wonderful thing that I love about the Lord is what in this text is that God did not allow the Spirit to lead him and then leave him. The Spirit led him, but the Spirit of God was still with him. And I want you to know this morning that wherever you go, the Bible says that the Lord, in the liberty of who God is with you. And so if you go down, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is with you while you're going down. If you're going sideways, the Spirit of the Lord is still with you. If you're going up, the Spirit of the Lord is still with you. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And you got to know that who led him was a champion who led him, made him the champion in this field and then this fight with the enemy, because the champion understands that I am the winner already. I have victory already before the fight begins. And when it's over, I'm still a winner in Jesus' name. The enemy said to Jesus, and I want us to get this. Glory to God. Look at verse 3. The tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God. Now that is a direct, that's a direct attack on his kingship. That's a direct attack on the messianic aspect of who Jesus is. The reality of it is that the enemy already knew who he was. How do you know, Pastor? Because them same devils that was in them pigs when Jesus healed the young man of all these legion of demons, and when these when he walked up to this young man, the Bible says that the legion of demons said to him, we know who you are. And then they begged him, don't kill us, just send us away. And the truth is the enemy already knew who he was. But the enemy does this so craft, he does it in a very trickery, sneaky kind of way, that he wants, same thing for the believers, he wants us, he challenges us based on something that we ought to know already. Yeah. He'll send people our way and say, how you call yourself a Christian when we make a mistake or mess up? Didn't you say you was a Christian? So the same tactic that he used with Jesus, he because he don't have nothing new. He uses the same tactic today. He said, if you are the Son of God, he said, take these stones and turn them into bread. Now, the truth is the enemy knew he was hungry. And so the text says that he was hungry. But you got to be careful for what you hunger for, because whatever you hunger for, there is something that can fill your appetite. And so the enemy knew he was hungry. And so the first thing he wanted to test him on, he wanted to test him on his hunger, what he fed on. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. And what we've got to understand is that when we begin to think of doing things in our own strength or living by our own understanding without depending upon the power of God to guide us, that is the start of satanic counsel in your mind. Yeah. That's the start. When you try to do it yourself, or you try to, this is mine, this is, I can do this on my own, that's the beginning of your end. And so that is why we have to make sure that we move and make our decisions, that we move in the independence or the dependence of God and not be independent of God. Jesus, what I love about Christ is that you are not going to get him or catch him unguarded. That's right. Oh, help us, Amen. Lord. Amen. Because he came back at the enemy with the word of God. Because that's what we ought to be feeding on, glory to God, that would strengthen us spiritually. And so Jesus returned. Jesus returned with the scripture, answering him and saying, it is written. Look at it, verse 4. But Jesus, he said and answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by turn to somebody and say, every. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so it is about what God says to do over what you feel emotionally what God said. I want us to get that. Because we can feel emotional about something that's not true. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. And so Jesus quoted an Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Listen to this, to show that he came to assert the authority of scripture. That's why you can't go by what somebody said. That's why you can't go by, well, everybody else in the room is jumping up and down and shouting. Well, you can't do what everybody else do, because if it's not the word, don't you jump around and shout about it. Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus came to assert authority in scripture. Yeah. And so he could have dealt with the enemy in a powerful, in what we would think would be a powerful way, by casting him down. We've already seen him do that before, by delivering people from the enemy. We've already seen him do that before. We've already seen him heal people of sickness and disease. But instead of coming at him with a miracle, he came at him with the word. Amen. And so I'm telling you, in this new year, you got to fight fire, baby, with fire. If the enemy is coming your way, and I'm telling you, he is waiting for opportunities in the new year to get you and I to do some of the same stuff we did in this year. And the reality of it is that when you are met with the test, the only way that you're going to come out of the test is to lean on God's word. Yes. Amen. Amen. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 3, and you have to understand as a believer that the word is your weapon of resistance. You can shout all night long and can roll all on the floor and you can cry and be all emotional, but when you get up off the floor, you better have the word of God hid in your heart to be able to talk about it and share it. I'm telling you, the word is the weapon of resistance of all the acts of the enemy. You got to understand this morning that resisting the enemies of God gives us the opportunity, when we're standing in the middle of difficulty, and that we're still able to not be influenced by what we see or feel. We should discover that as believers, God's word has power. Help me, Lord Jesus. God's word has power over what we see and feel. We have to understand that the enemy wants us to fall in line with how we feel over falling in line with what God says. God wants to give you and I greater understanding, as well as to help us to see the bigger picture. That's why God will do something real small in our lives today, and we may not understand why we even doing this, why we even trusting this, and then years down the road, he reveals to us why we had to do this thing first. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You think about it. Stuff that the enemy, that's why the enemy is so bent on getting us to think in our own understanding, because in our own understanding, God can direct us to do something small. And because it's small, we say, well, God must not be in that, because the word says that God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all. And I'm telling you, yes, the word is correct, but God is trying to use the word to shape our perspective. That what you see ain't really what you see. What you're feeling is the right thing to do could be the very wrong thing to do. Amen. Every single one of us in here have leaned on our own feelings and our own understanding. And if we be honest with ourselves, it has gotten us into trouble. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Why? Because of how I feel. And I'm telling you, at the seat of our feelings, at the seat of our emotions is sin. Because your emotions will make you make a decision that ain't the will of God for your life. And then after you make it, listen, once you in it, you in it. And so the reality is, even when you're in it, you still have to trust God to bring you through it. Somebody shout amen. Amen. The apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that no temptation has overtaken you except such as common is to man. But God is faithful, glory to God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way for you to get out of it.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
How many of us have been in situations in our own lives? And if it wasn't for that door that the Lord, good God Almighty, that door that the Lord opened up to let us out of what we were in. See, we thought we were going to die in it, but that wasn't the will of God for us. The reality is that what we thought we were going to die in and quit in, God said, no, I still have more for you to do. And so despite how you want, feel, I'm going to move so that you can see that I am God in your life. God never said it was going to be easy. Stop looking for it to be easy. God never said that everybody was going to love you. Stop looking for everybody to like you. God never said that it was going to be in your favor all the time. Some things have got to be out of your favor in order for you to be under the favor of God. The truth is, if God is not doing the feeding, turn to somebody and say, don't eat it. If God is not dispensing the meal for you to eat off of, don't eat it. Well, Pastor, how do I know the difference between God and the enemy? Well, the enemy wants you to want him. But what God wants you to serve him. And so while the enemy wants you to get caught up in yourself and focus on yourself and walk in the pride of yourself, God says, I want you to move outside of yourself. I want you to move off of yourself. And I want you to trust and depend and to follow and serve me. One is prison and one is service. One is sacrifice and one is sensuality. One wants to take you higher and one wants to destroy you. And I'm telling you, you got to know the difference between the bread you eating. You got to make an understanding. You got to understand that though it looks good, it may not be good for me. And so don't be fed by anything or anybody in this coming year. Second thing, glory to God. Second thing, Jesus, in verses 5 through 7, Jesus was not deceived about who had the power. And I'm telling you, Jesus was not fooled by the trickery or dishonesty of the enemy. And so look at it, verse 5, glory to God. I'm telling you, if nothing else, the enemy of God is relentless. I'm telling you, you talk about a won't quit attitude. You talking about somebody that will keep coming at you as long as you are giving attention to him. He's gonna keep coming at you. And the truth is, even our enemies, that's why we got to be careful that's why the Bible tells us to love our enemies. And pray for them that despitefully use you and cause all manner of things to come up against you. Because the truth of the matter is that those people who we are calling our enemies are really agents. There's an agent behind them that is really our true enemy. And so sometimes we get caught up in the faces of the people who we are calling our enemy, and we just simply write them off because we say to ourselves that they don't mean me any good. But I'm telling you, you were an enemy of somebody before you got saved. Amen. Amen. There was somebody that did not like you before you got saved. And so the reality of it is we just can't quit on people, because as soon as the devil gets his game plan in his claws in you and I, he'll let the person who he used to do it, he'll let them go, and they'll be walking, not even paying you no mind, and you still angry and bitter and upset about them, about what they did, and guess what? They ain't even thinking about you. Jesus was not deceived about it. Then verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Here he come again. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, attacking his messianic ministry, if you really a Christian, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over you. Jesus wasn't fooled, and he answers Satan right back with scripture. See, I want you to understand something. Ain't no need you taking a baseball bat to a gunfight. Come on, amen. Ain't no need in you taking a butter knife to a real knife fight. And so our biggest challenge is we keep trying to fight the enemy in our own strength, in our own understanding, with something that is less than he has. I want you to see it. What he was quoting again, he was quoting scripture. The enemy was. And so I want you to see it. He says, for it is written. That's what the enemy said. So Jesus told him, for it's written. And so he said, I'm going to come back at him with something that he said himself. So the enemy then says to Jesus, he said, now, for it is written. In other words, doesn't the Bible say? See that? He said, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Oh, my. Oh, my. Isn't that just like the devil? Because the truth is, Jesus answers him back and said, but you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Look at what he says in verse 7. Jesus said to him, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, he said, you're not going to put the Lord to the test, because what the Bible says, what the Word of God says is true. I don't have to prove that it's true. Did you get that? He said the test, see, if that scripture can be twisted for evil, listen to what I'm saying, that sometimes people take the scriptures of God and they twist them to meet their own resolve, or they twist it or take a word out of it or try to get you emotional about it, and so you believe what they say instead of what the Word says. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy verses 4 and chapter 4 verses 3 and 4 that for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. And I'm telling you, there's somebody on television right now selling oil and selling patches of water to make you think that if you drink this or rub this on something, that God is going to move for you if you drink this little vial of holy water or holy oil, that God is going to move with great power in your situation. Well, I want you to know this morning that you are the oil. You and I are what God has pressed out of Jesus. You and I are what God has pressed down so that we can become and be producers of this great work that God has called for us. Let me tell you something. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you and tell you you're healed. The same power that Jesus gave them to heal, he's given to us. Amen. Oh, I hope. Now, listen. We just got to believe it. Our biggest problem is our unbelief. We can believe God to be a way maker for somebody else, but not believe him to be a way maker for us. Help us, Lord Jesus. See, we have to understand that is why you and I have to know God's word for ourselves. And then we have to live in the power of God's word for ourselves. We see right here in the text, the devil took scripture. He took some, and I'm going to tell you where it is, Psalms 91. He took an Old Testament scripture in Psalms 91 and twisted it to make it seem like, well, if you the Son of God, this is what scripture says. And so prove it. And I want you to understand that Jesus did not have to prove that the word was real, because the Bible says that he is the word. That's why you cannot just be a preacher of it and not practice it. Oh, help us, Lord. Now, I'm not talking about people who stand in the pulpit. I'm talking about how we live. The Bible says that we all are ministers of this gospel. And I'm talking about how we live. You got to be careful. Don't preach this gospel and share with other people how wonderful God is. And you need to trust God, and you need to move by God's power if you aren't going to move in it yourself. Turn to somebody and say, this coming year, move in it. 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 The enemy quoted Psalms 91 verses 11 and 12. You can look it up later for yourself. He wanted to tempt or bait Jesus to follow his instructions and to jump off the roof of the temple to test God's love for his son. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. He don't do nothing new. He did the same thing in Genesis chapter 3. And you all know the story. He did the same thing with Adam and Eve. The Bible says in John in Genesis chapter 3, he rose up on Eve and says, how you doing, Eve? And she says, hey, I'm doing fine. He said, now, can't you eat from any tree in this garden? And she said, yeah, the Lord said that we can eat from any tree in this garden, but we cannot eat from the tree of truth and knowledge. He told us to not touch that tree. Well, why would God tell you to not touch? You can eat from every tree, but he would tell you to not touch that tree. Don't you want the same knowledge God has? See how that is? See? Just like when we were kids, and somebody told us to do something, and we say, nah, man, I ain't going to do it. And then they say, you must be scared. Yeah. Uh-huh. Chicken. Yeah. I bet you can't do it. And we get emotional, and we do something that we know we can't do, but because people are watching us, we do it anyway. Mess up, fall, bump our heads in the emergency room because we did something that somebody dare, I dare you to do it. And I'm telling you, the enemy this year has dared a whole lot of us to do some things, and some of those things we did. I dare you to do it. And then the people who are under the influence of the agent gets behind us and say, yeah, I thought you said you could do that. I thought you was all this. I thought the reality is that in Christ, I'm not. The Bible says in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I ain't got no strength of my own. I don't have no strength of my own. Everything that I have that I am operating in that gives me strength and gives me power does not come from me.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen.
Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Some of us are too proud about wanting to control the outcome that we're trying to do it ourselves. And I'm telling you, you're going to mess up every single, don't you take that into the new year. You're going to mess up every single time because you're trying to fix something that you may have broken, but the only one that can really fix it is God. Take your hands off your loved ones. Let Jesus fix them. Take your hands off of them folks on your job. Listen. Let see the problem with us as believers, we lay some stuff on the cross, but we don't lay everything on the cross. And I'm telling you, God wants it all. God wants it all. And when we give it all to God, listen, I believe that one of the major ways that Satan attacks us as Christians is having a misrepresented intention of Scripture. God's word, let me tell you something. Don't you think for one minute that God's word is not the power and authority of the Christian. See, we get too focused on ourselves and we start laboring in ourselves and say, you know, well, Lord, we do just like the enemy sometimes. Well, Lord, if you was real, you'd have moved on my situation. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
Because the reality of it is that God has a timing. I've said to us before, there are three things that the believer has to always operate and walk in. We've got to operate and understand that we've got to be patient. We've got to understand because God ain't going to do it when you want him to do it. But I've never seen him miss a case. I've never seen him be late on what his will is for our lives. So God ain't going to do it just because you're impatient. He's going to do it because he has, secondly, a time that he's going to do it. And so we got to learn as believers to exercise some patience. See, I'm telling you, the enemy wants you to become impatient so that you'll walk out of the fellowship of God, so that you won't trust God to move in your situation because he didn't do it based on what? Your timing. I'm telling you, God has a time when he's going to do it. That's why he tells us to be faithful over a few things. Don't let the few things make you think that God is not in it. Because the Bible says that he will make you a ruler over many. But the goal is you got to be faithful over what you already have so that when he gives you more, you're not focused on, well, I got more. You focus on the fact that God gave it to me.
Amen. Amen.
And as believers, we have to be faithful.
Amen.
Got to be faithful.
Yes, Lord.
We got to be faithful with our time. We got to be faithful with our money. We got to be faithful with our resources. Because when you are faithful with your time and your resources and your gifts, you make it real clear to God that it's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. And so the enemy wants the word to be misrepresented in Scripture, and so that we understand, so that we miss the whole point, is that God's word is the authority for the believer, and it is the authority in the believer.
Yeah.
It is really simply what God has commanded or communicated to us and what has to be believed.
Yeah.
Turn to somebody and say, the word has to be believed. But not only must it be believed, the word of God also must be obeyed. And so you can't say, I believe what God